भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया
What verse is on the board there? Huh? Six? Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 4, Text 6. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshad Vimukto Jnana Vandana Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Gajendro Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukta Jnana Vandana Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparsha Vimukto Jnanabandhana Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Gajendro Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshad Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshad Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Vajendra Bhagavat Sakshat Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Chandra Bhagavat Sparshad Nanabandhanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Ro Bhagavat Sparshad Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Matajis Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Jendro Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Jnana Vandanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pita Vasas Chatur Bhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Jnana Bandhanat Bhapto Bhagavato Rupa Chitabcha Chubuja G-N-A-N-A is Jnana, not Jhana. With a G and an N, we pronounce it Jnana. Jnana. Very good, but anyone else?
Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Jnana Bandhanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pitavasas Chaturbhujaha Gajendra.
The king of the elephants, Gajendra.
Bhagavat Sparshad.
Because of being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vimukta.
Was immediately freed.
Ajnana Bandhanat.
From all kinds of ignorance. Especially the bodily concept of life.
Prapta,
achieved.
Bhagavata,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Rupam,
the same bodily features.
Pitavasaha,
wearing yellow garments.
Chatubhujaha,
and four-handed, with conchal disc, club, and lotus. Translation. Because Gajendra, king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed of all material ignorance and bondage. Thus, he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by having his gross body touched by the Lord, his body turns into a spiritual body, and he can go back home, back to Godhead. Gajendra assumed a spiritual body when his body was touched by the Lord. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj assumed his spiritual body in this way. Archana Padati, daily worship of the deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet and offering worship, in other words, by serving the Lord somehow or other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. One who is a devotee, Anyabhilasita Sunyam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, who acts according to the Shastra and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly becomes purified. Like Gajendra, he assumes a spiritual body and returns home back to Godhead. Translation. Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshad Vimukta Jnana Bandhanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pitavasas Chaturbhujaha. Because Gajendra, king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed of all material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Kiranjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So, in this verse, in Sanskrit language, the shloka has four verses usually. And when the first and third lines have an H with a dot under it, it's pronounced K, Bujak. But when the second and the fourth line have an H with a dot under it, it's pronounced Aha, like Pitavasas Chatur Bujaha. Had that been on the first or third line, it would be Pitavasas Chatur Bujak. We don't pronounce the Aha except on the second and fourth line. This is the way to read shlokas. Everyone understands that? It's a little bit tricky because it's the same spelling, but where it appears in the line makes a difference. So herein, Gajendra was touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What a blessing to be touched by the Lord. It's stated in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Of all types of worship, Radha means worship, Aradhananam Sarvesham, of all the different types of worship, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The worship of Vishnu is Aradhanam Param, the topmost worship. But Lord Shiva tells his wife, Tasmat Parataram Devi. What is that? Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. But better than worshiping Lord Vishnu is to worship the paraphernalia of Lord Vishnu or the spiritual master and the spiritual master's paraphernalia. In 1976, we had the great fortune of going on a morning walk in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. It was part of the Vrindavan Festival in March, April of 1976. I think some Prabhupada disciples were probably there. Naikatma, 76, you were there. And Bana, you were there, I think. And usually only sannyasis and GBCs could go on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. But somehow or other, we were brahmacharis of Triparari Swami. Usually the sannyasi travels with brahmacharis that are his servants, his assistants. So we were the assistants of Triparari Swami in those days. Naikatma was part of that party. We were on that party. Vaisheshika Prabhu was on that party, Pragosh. The traveling Sankirtan airport party. So somehow or other, one of the brahmacharis, Pragosh, who is a very powerful guy, he was going on those morning walks, even though it was all sannyasis, GBCs. So I saw him leave one morning, and I said, you know, where are you going? I knew he was going on the morning walk. I said, take me. So by Krishna's grace, he took us, and somehow or other, nobody said anything. Usually some sannyasi or GBC would come up and say, what are you doing? who are you? Because we were just rank and file. So we snuck on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and it was a very beautiful walk. On that morning walk, specifically, I remember Srila Prabhupada pointed to some berries and said, "What are these berries?" And Lokanath Maharaj said, "Oh, those are Pachanakesi berries," whatever, some specific type of berry. And Prabhupada said, "You can eat those berries?" And he said, "Oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Sadhus stay in the forest and eat berries like that." So Prabhupada said, "Our men should learn how to do like this. Stay in the forest, eat a few berries, chant Hare Krishna, and once in a week, go down to the village and beg some chapati." So we were all, because when Prabhupada would say something, sometimes he would send everyone to do it. Just like one time, he had written that devotees should eat once a day, sumptuously. We were all young men, kind of skinny in those days, most of us. And Prabhupada ordered eat once a day, sumptuously. So our leader, you remember, Naikatma, had us eating once a day for about a year. Vaisasika weighed, he was 6'5". He weighed about 125 pounds. We were all emaciated. We were very fired up, but we couldn't believe this is our new instruction. You can only eat once in a day. And what we did, we ate breakfast, prasad, khichdi up to the neck. I think they had some other thing with the khichdi. And then you couldn't eat lunch, you couldn't eat dinner, you couldn't eat snack, nothing. That's it. Once a day. The interesting point was, when someone else found out that all the men on the Radha-Damodar airport party were basically fasting to death, it was brought to the attention. I don't know if Prabhupada was told or if the letter was actually analyzed. It said you should eat once a day sumptuously, which meant you could eat more than once a day, but only eat sumptuously once a day. And we had been on a once-a-day fast just about for an entire year, at least 6-8 months, where even sometimes I remember some devotees we won't mention would go in O'Hare Airport and stand in front of the potato chip and candy machine and offer the whole machine to Krishna and start reaching for their coins till they were caught by another devotee. No, once a day, Prabhu. We have to follow this austerity and penance. Of course, it wasn't even the order of the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, no. Eat once a day sumptuously. You can eat 3 times a day. Once a day, sumptuously. So, on this morning walk, Prabhupada had said, eat these little berries, chant Hare Krishna, once in a week you can beg a chapati. And we were all shaking that this is the next phase. This is where we do, what we do next. We're going to be ordered to the forests of Vrindavan and eat Pachanakesi berries. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "But Prabhupada, you said on a morning walk that we should eat halava and rice and sabji and salad. In Denver, you told us." Prabhupada said, "That's all right, but you should be able to do like this. This kind of austerity." So devotees were very quiet. Lokanath Maharaj was ready. I was watching him. He was probably doing that already. Some sannyasis were eating fruit only. They could eat the berries and once in a week beg a chapati. But the rest of us were thinking, what about samosas? What about pakoras? What about sabji and halava? And sweet rice? It's Krishna conscious. Anyway, it was a very wonderful morning walk. And during this morning walk, Prabhupada was carrying a big bouquet, a purple bouquet. And we noticed because it was very big and very colorful. So when we all went back for the Bhagavatam class, and everyone filled up the temple, some devotees went in Srila Prabhupada's car, and about six or seven of us jumped on a rickshaw. We were all piled up on one rickshaw to get back to the temple in time for class. And our rickshaw was very slow because he was one young kid driving six, seven 150-pound guys. It was difficult. So by the time we got back, it was Jai Radha Madhava was finished. Class was starting. So we went, and in Vrindavan, in the old days, I don't know how it is today, Srila Prabhupada would sit in his Vyasasan, which was to the side of the altar for Krishna Balaram. And devotees would pack the temple room. Of course, GBCs, sannyasis in the front row, front few rows, rank and file, brahmacharis, householder men, and the matajis were sitting in the back. It was the custom in those days. It wasn't side by side in those days. It was, and behind the matajis were the six, seven devotees who came so late for class, because there was several hundred devotees, few hundred devotees. Prabhupada gave a wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam class. And during the class, that bouquet, big bouquet, was being passed back from one devotee to another. Srila Prabhupada had saved it. He was holding it. And saved it till Bhagavatam class when he passed it. And everyone was passing it back. Traditionally, you smell the bouquet. Big bouquet of flowers. You smell the bouquet. So when it reached beyond the matajis, to the back of the back of the temple room, somehow or other, it came to me and Pragosh. I smelled it. And I thought, this was Prabhupada's bouquet. I want to flatten it, put it in a frame, and keep it forever. This is a very special bouquet. I want to worship this bouquet. So I mentioned to Pragosh, we could take this back and press it and worship this bouquet. And Pragosh was a little more senior in some ways to me. He grabbed the bouquet from my hand and he ripped it in half. I was shocked. And he handed me half and he took half and started devouring it in the middle of Bhagavatam class. He ate this huge bouquet. Flowers, stem, everything. The whole thing. And I watched, and I was still thinking, no, I'm going to take this home, press it, put it in a big frame, keep it for 50 years. And Pragosh was like, come on. And I thought, you know, my digestive tract here in India is not very good. This is going to be harder than sabji and harder than uncooked rice. This is a bouquet. But somehow or other, we ate that tadiya. It's the spiritual master's tadiya. Srila Prabhupada touched it. And therefore it was spiritualized. And we sat there completely satisfied, a little bit indigestion, but very satisfied. And we realized, we talked later, how the cells of the body change every 8 years. All of the cells of the body change, scientifically. But more or less, we have the same cells for the next 8 years before they start changing. I don't know exactly how that works. It's not a spiritual phenomena. It's a material phenomena. And we had eaten that tadiya of Srila Prabhupada and realized that our bodies were transcendentalized. We were touched by Prabhupada's tadiya. Prabhupada was holding that flower, smelling that bouquet, carrying that bouquet, and now it was inside of us. So we realized that at least till 1984, our bodies would be spiritualized with the tadiya of Srila Prabhupada. What to speak of following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, engaging in his service? We never had the opportunity to see Krishna directly, most of us. Maybe some of us have. What to speak of be touched by Krishna? But Prabhupada disciples and grand disciples also have the opportunity to be touched by the pure devotee, the tadiya of the Lord, to be touched by Srila Prabhupada physically and devotionally. And what to speak when you're worshiping the deity? You're touching the Lord. You're touched by the Lord. Your body is Krishna eyes. Just like if you put your finger in the electric socket, you'll be electrocuted. Similarly, Krishna is giving off devotional energy. You touch the body of Krishna. I can't say I said that we weren't touched by Krishna. We touch Krishna when we worship the deity of the Lord. And then you become Krishna-ized. Therefore, devotees are engaged in deity worship. It's half of our devotional process. We practice Bhagavat Marg and Panchartriki Vidhi. The Bhagavat Marg means going out and touching everyone with Srila Prabhupada's books. If they touch the book, they become spiritualized. If they read one shloka, just one word, they become purified. They touch the Srimad Bhagavatam. So much potency is there in the pages of Bhagavatam. So our business is to remain very chaste and faithful to the spiritual master. There is a wonderful story about chastity in the pages of the Mahabharata, that there was a great woman, sadvi. Female saint is a sadvi, and a male saint is a sadhu. There are sadhus and sadvis, not just sadhus, there are sadvis, prabhus and prabhis, that's Sanskrit. So this saintly woman, Gandhari, she was the beloved wife of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was the brother of Pandu. When he was born, his mother was so horrified, I forget the entire story. She closed her eyes so heavily when he was created, what do you call, procreation, that when he was born blind. The other sister, when she saw Vyasadeva was the father, right? She was so horrified, she turned white. And therefore, one of the sons was completely white. What was his name? Pandu was white, totally white. Wasn't even any tint of anything, like albino. So the story goes that Dhritarashtra later in life, he wasn't a very fair person. Pandu was actually the king. Dhritarashtra was the brother of Pandu. His wife was Gandhari. And because Dhritarashtra was blind, Gandhari was so chaste. She was such a good wife that from the time of their marriage, she blindfolded herself with a scarf so that she couldn't see throughout her life. And because of this, because of this austerity, she gained great spiritual power. Just like because of the austerity of eating once in a day, those brahmacharis distributed so many books. Of course, they might have done more books if they ate twice a day. But somehow or other, they practiced austerity and gained so much shakti. Except for those of us who went to that popcorn potato chip machine. I don't think I ever bought that, but I sure thought about it. So Gandhari had so much shakti that during the Battle of Kurukshetra, she was going to bless her son, Duryodhana. He was on the side of the Kurus. He was the enemy of the Pandavas. She was going to bless him by taking off the scarf, and anything she looked at would become completely invincible. In the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Duryodhana was coming to his mother. It was the night before he was supposed to fight Bhima and the Pandavas. Pandavas and Kurus were fighting over the kingdom, so to speak. The Pandavas had been exiled and taken advantage of in so many ways, the sons of Pandu. And the sons of Dhritarashtra and the sons of Pandus engaged in this battle of Kurukshetra. Before starting the war, Duryodhana and Arjuna went to Krishna because Krishna had a huge army. He had his own, what was it, Vrishni army? The big army, huge. Many phalanxes of soldiers and elephants and horses. So Krishna said that I'll give one of you my army and another one I'll give myself. So Arjuna sat, Krishna was sleeping. He came to him in his quarters. Arjuna sat by his feet. Duryodhana sat by his head to be there first. When Krishna awoke. And Krishna looked when he awoke by his feet and asked Arjuna, what is it? And Arjuna said, I want you, O Krishna. Would you join our side? And Krishna asked him, what about the army? Dhritarashtra can, Duryodhana can take the army. And Duryodhana was good. I wanted the army. That was my desire. To have all the phalanxes of soldiers and elephants and horses and chariots. So Krishna became the chariot driver, Partha Sarathi. Here's the picture. Krishna was the chariot driver for Arjuna. He is known as Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of the sun. Kunti's son, I think, or another name. Partha Sarathi. So, when Duryodhana was going to his mother to get this blessing, he was supposed to go and remove his clothing and get a divine blessing, his body would become invincible. Because her eyes had seen so much austerity, she had that shakti, that power. On his way to his mother's, Krishna saw him, said, Duryodhana, where are you heading? Where are you coming in from, man? And Duryodhana said, oh, I'm going to see my mother. She's going to give me blessing. I'm going to take off all my clothes. And she's going to bless my entire body. And Krishna said, you're going to take off all your clothes in front of your mother. And Duryodhana said, yes. He said, you know, that's not a very good idea. You're a grown man. Put on a gamcha and cover yourself up. You know what I'm saying? Wear a little gamcha. Be a little chaste. Be a little modest. So Duryodhana thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. Who wants to be naked in front of their mother? It's crazy. It's disgusting. So when he went in front of his mother, he was wearing a gamcha. She took off her blindfold, blessed his whole body, gave the empowerment to his body. But because his midsection was covered, that was missing. The shakti did not take on the midsection. And she started crying. She fell to the ground. She was kicking her legs and crying, why have you done this? Who told you to do this? Why did you cover yourself? She was like, Krishna said it would be like a good thing, like it would be the best thing. Apparently it was a one-shot blessing. And it was finished. So when they went to the battle the next day or so, and Duryodhana and Bhima took up the clubs. Duryodhana was the disciple of Balaram. Krishna and Balaram were sitting in the arena. And everyone was cheering. Bhima could not make any headway. He'd hit him in the shoulder. He'd hit him in the head. He'd hit him in the stomach. He couldn't make any headway. And he couldn't figure out, this guy is invincible. He can't be destroyed. So Krishna, from the grandstands, he called Bhima's attention. And he told him, hit him below the belt. In Vedic culture, just like in MMA and in boxing, you can't hit below the belt. They stop the fight, give the other person the rest, and then you begin again. Specifically in the area of the pelvis. You can't hit in that area. It's illegal. So also in Vedic culture, that was immoral, illegal. But Krishna told Bhima, just like that fight with Jarasandha, when was it Krishna took the leaf and tore it in half to give the clue how to defeat Jarasandha? Who was fighting Jarasandha? Bhima. So he showed him. He bifurcated the leaf. So similarly, Krishna gave the hint. Hit him below the belt. Bhima hit him below the belt, and sure enough, no protection. He had nothing. And he immediately fell and passed from this world. So, someone may ask, why did Krishna take the side of the Pandavas? Krishna is always Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. He always takes the side. He's equal to everyone. But he takes the side of the pious. And he was on the side of the Pandavas. He was Arjuna's chariot driver. He instructed Arjuna to kill Karna, Radheya, when he got out of the chariot to pick the wheel out of the mud. That's illegal, immoral. You have to stop the fight if your wheel gets stuck. The chariot was stuck. Karna got out, put down his weapons, and Krishna said, now! And Arjuna shot what turned out to be his eldest brother, Radheya, the first of the Pandavas they didn't know. Same with Yudhisthira. He was... Drona had gone crazy destroying the Pandavas' army. They couldn't defeat him. So he was instructed, tell him, Aswatthama. He had a son, Drona, his favorite son. His name was Aswatthama. And he told Yudhisthira, who never told a lie, Aswatthama is dead. So because he never told a lie, he said, Aswatthama, the elephant, is dead. There was an elephant named Aswatthama that had passed. But because of these so-called immoralities, Yudhisthira told a lie. Bhima hit below the belt. And Arjun struck his enemy while he was unarmed and off the chariot. Because of this, the Pandavas had to all see hell when they left this world. First they went and they had to see hell. The Kurus, they were Kshatriyas. They had obeyed Kshatriya law. They went to their heavenly abode for being good Kshatriyas. But the Pandavas, they actually had to see hell. And then they were transferred. In self-same body, Arjuna went to the spiritual world. So, even we may be asked by Lord Krishna to do something seemingly immoral. Or we may be engaged in some activity that may not seem morally correct. We are after divine morality. Of course, that doesn't mean we cheat, steal, pilfer, and lie. But sometimes, just like Prabhupada gives the example, Tripurari, he goes on Sankirtan and the lady asked him, does this book tell about the energy crisis? So he said, oh yes. And Prabhupada was repeating him, oh yes. He said, so you big moralists, you think that he has lied. But actually, it does talk about the energy crisis. Not like she was thinking. Not like the mundaner might think the Bhagavatam doesn't speak like that. But the Bhagavatam contains the answers to everything. Therefore, in 1977... on January 24th, in Laguna Beach, Bob Dhritavrata Gupta and one other person, I don't remember, they were part of Prashadam Distribution International, PDI, and part of the Laguna Beach Temple. And they wrote a letter to Prabhupada that they wanted to start going door to door with sets of Bhagavatams, just like the Encyclopedia Britannica. Prabhupada wrote back on January 24th, 1977, my dear Gupta, Dhritavrata, Alex, and I forget the fourth person, I'm in due receipt of your letter. If you can do this set distribution program, it will afford greater preaching of Krishna consciousness than any book distribution program we have done thus far. By 77, there were millions of books distributed. Prabhupada went on in that letter to say, I want that every respectable person have a set of my Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. We said this last weekend when we were up in Sacramento. And immediately three respectable gentlemen came forward for three sets of Bhagavatams, three sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas. I wrote Vaisheshika Prabhu because that was his zone and I know he wanted to go there. We've already made the pitch, but you can come after us. So this is our business. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so beautiful culture. Give it to everyone. Every respectable person should be touched by this incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm not saying that. That's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. How does it go? This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Person and is risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by knowledge, etc. This Bhagavatam shall give light to the dark age of Kali Yuga. Sri Krishna Swadamopagate Dharma Junadibisaha Kalo Drisham Nishamesha Purnarko Duno Ditaha. Something like that. Very close. That this is the incarnation. This is how they are going to be touched. Gajendra was touched and he returned back to Godhead. How can people be touched by Krishna? Can we bring everybody in to touch the deity? Not really. They can come in and offer flowers to Prabhupada. But we go out and give people Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita so that they get touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you're touched by Krishna and the devotee, he's touching all day. He's holding the Bhagavatam. He's holding the Gita. He's carrying the Gita. She's carrying the Bhagavatam. Using the energy to lift Srila Prabhupada's books. And this is how people will be delivered in this dark, dark age of Kali. All glory, Sri Guru and Gauranga. Again, if you want a set of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 20% discount. One lady is coming at 10:30 this morning. Join the club. If you don't have money, we'll put you on the layaway program.